The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Man in Line's with you through till one. Get in touch by calling 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. SMS text 166177. 86 new cases were revealed by government yesterday. We now have 1,197 active cases. There are 14 people in hospital, including one person in ICU. From the vaccination dashboard, the message is 64,871 first doses have been administered, 59,199 second doses. 1,460 people are booked in for the next 7 days, and DHSC is holding 11,338 shots of vaccine in stock. That's where that is. Government confirmed that a patient at Nobles Hospital has died from coronavirus. This was last night, just a couple of minutes to 10 p.m. we got the announcement. The person is the 30th person to have lost their life to COVID-19 on the Isle of Man since the start of the pandemic, and the first person to lose their life since the 28th of March this year. So, 14 people in Nobles, one in ICU, and sadly, we lost someone yesterday. We haven't heard, apart from the fact the Chief Minister says he's deeply saddened, we've not heard anything. There are no plans for any media briefing at the moment. Obviously, as soon as we know if anything's happening, then we'll let you know. Thoughts on the matter, the number of people that remember that first death, first person since March, it comes as the cases on the Isle of Man have spiked over the past month or so. The island's Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, has talked about this. She says that recent big local events may have played a role in the increased spread of the virus.
Ultimately, this is all related to the fact of the way this virus transmits, which is by people mixing. So that means that it's very sensitive to the amount of mixing that people do. And that, of course, varies with things like the time of the week and the weather and whether there are any particular events on. So for that reason, we can see swings that relate to things that maybe happened, you know, 4 or so days previously, that may either lead to a rise or a fall, depending on whether those things encouraged more mixing or less mixing. That's very much something that's been seen across, where there is probably a surge a little while back that was related to the Euros football events. So that's people getting together in stuffy pubs. It's people being crowded together on buses or coaches, those sorts of things.
Any impression that you get from what Dr. Ewart had to say, anything you'd like to contribute, by all means. I just wonder how you're feeling at the moment. It is always a shocking moment when somebody dies, and certainly from COVID, it's something that's been, whenever it happens, it's fairly totemic. So the fact that we lost somebody, it was announced last night, very important, and I just wonder how you feel, whether it alters the pH slightly. Isle of Man Bank have been in touch to tell us, by the way, that they want social distancing and face coverings at the moment. So if you're heading to Isle of Man Bank, you may be subject to that. One of the casualties of the widespread and uncontrolled outbreak has been the Isle of Man's residential homes. Manx Care has taken, that's the government body, Manx Care has taken the decision to shut six of them due to the increase of community transmission of COVID-19. The chief exec is Teresa Cope. A difficult decision.
We know the impact this has on the residents and their families, and it's incredibly distressing. And given what we've all experienced over the last 18 months, we were genuinely hoping we'd got to the point whereby we had really minimised cross-infection and the risks in the care home setting. So yes, you know, it was a very difficult decision. We took all of the expert clinical advice and advice from the service. It is a temporary measure, and we genuinely hope we will be able to restore visiting as soon as possible. So yes, a difficult decision, but just because someone is doubly vaccinated, it does not always mean they will not get COVID. And given the levels of community transmission that we have seen and the number of active cases in the community, we really have a responsibility to protect the most vulnerable service users and clients who we have a responsibility to care for.
Teresa Cope talking about that Manx Care decision to close six of their homes due to the increase in community transmission. Just a quick word, if you got your first dose of Moderna on the 14th of June, your second one has been brought forward to the 9th of August. So a week today, the 500 people had appointments for the second dose of COVID vaccination, brought forward to increase the number of Ireland residents with the fullest protection. This is the interval between the two vaccinations reduced between from 12 to 8 weeks in line with the vaccination supplies and schedules. So this is if you got your first dose on the 14th of June, it was Moderna. Your second dose is now Monday, the 9th of August. Now, they should be pinging out messages and texts and what have you, but just to make sure if that's you. All appointments are going to be at the same time and location as originally booked for second appointments. You're asked to attend at the earlier date. Due to an error in the call-out system, a number of people have incorrectly notified of a move to the 10th of August. It's the 9th. Anyone who's been advised of a revised date should disregard it and stick with their original second appointment. Another email is going to be sent out. You should have had that by now. But just a word, if you had your first dose on the 14th of June, and it was Moderna. Message in from it's Gaz on 313. Public Health said COVID cases have risen shortly after events. What a surprise. Instead of the obvious, tell us what's been done to prevent the potential spread of the Beta variant. Or can we expect government to be surprised again? Can you let people know that amenity sites are now taking fridges and TVs? But the prices have doubled. TVs were £14, now £27. Fridges were £27, £57. Surely this is going to result in more fly tipping, says Graham. Only by those people who would fly tip anyway, would you say, Graham? This is a result of this new contract that's been signed with the amenity sites. Actually, the Eastern amenity site was full yesterday. They closed early afternoon. People are obviously having clear outs. But just be aware of that if you're taking fridges and TVs to the amenity sites. New improved price. Televisions were 14, now 27. Fridges were 27, now 57. I think it's all down to crypto pension now. Everybody's the Jamie from Lord Street. I'm going to need that state pension. Maybe crypto's going down. Well, crypto, apparently, I don't know about this. I mean, I know nothing about cryptocurrency other than the fact it can go down as well as up, depending on, you know, what Elon Musk's saying on that day. And how about this story about Elon Musk apparently wanting a presence on the Isle of Man? Wow. Andy dropped me a note. Southern Andy, this is, by the way. It's disturbing and unbelievable to read a couple of articles over the weekend regarding our island's credentials and the environment. Firstly, the pumping of raw sewage into the sea at Peel Breakwater and consequential raw human sewage being washed up on the beach. Yes, I read about that. Manx Utilities want a treatment plant but have been denied planning approval. Secondly, and far worse, the Isle of Man's authorities think it's okay to discharge into rivers and the sea. PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, apparently, which are banned at any level, but the Isle of Man think it's acceptable. It could cost our biosphere status, as UNESCO are now involved, let alone the impact on personal health, the seas and the creatures around our shores. Well, everybody's getting far more aware of things that are being pumped into public spaces like air and sea, but certainly raw sewage or macerated sewage being pumped out into seawater still happens in a couple of locations on the island. Are these people in nobles? Have they had the two jabs? No one is telling the public this, says 909. I think you've asked this before, 909. I don't think government are ever going to tell us the status of vaccination. Obviously, this Wednesday, David Ashford, MHK, Minister for Health and Social Care, will be on Man in Line. So we'll ask him. He no doubt will say, we can't say, but we'll certainly ask the question. And if you have any questions for Mr. Ashford, you want to get them in beforehand, you can, out of hours, if you want to drop a note to maninline@manxradio.com. We'll put them all in a big pile for Mr. Ashford. Or you can call the answer phone on 682-631. Answer phone. Maggie said, Andy, I hear people who aren't double vaccinated will continue to be tested on arrival. Doesn't work. A young couple I know returned to the Isle of Man recently, both tested negative, were free to go out and about till symptoms appeared on days 3 and 4, and they tested positive. Meanwhile, they'd already infected parents who were double jabbed and became rather ill. I wonder how many other people became ill after just a few days of freedom. A message in to say, does Dr. Hewitt and the government think we're idiots? We don't need telling events will, not might, will spread the virus. They're insulting our intelligence. I think they that people need to start being responsible. Our banks are being responsible. Isn't it long overdue the government tell us to use face coverings inside, Steve? If government told us to use face coverings, mandated it inside? Now, I don't know whether they can do that at the moment. Remember, the Emergency Powers Act has now lapsed. And heaven knows, it may be the new Lieutenant Governor that has to invoke that. But I'm not sure they can mandate the use of face coverings without appropriate legislation. Let me see. 99% of energy from waste plant buy in the waste to fuel the plants. On the island, we have to pay a high cost to supply ours with fuel. Pat says, why is that? If we're creating all this rubbish that fuels the energy from waste plant, why do we still have to pay? Here's a message in from Jay. He just said, although I agree that people are at risk from crowded gatherings, had the government kept testing visitors, then we wouldn't be at the same risk. Borders should have opened later as well, I think, as well. COVID, I think, will come back because of the borders opening and testing being stopped. And a message in just to say, we don't need telling the obvious. Give us proper and correct guidance. Perhaps we're fools for taking notice of these people in the first place. Well, depends where you think we are. Do you think the Isle of Man has handled this, the COVID outbreak, well? Better than most? Worse than most? Terrifically well? I don't notice a lot of criticism for government. Sure, we get people with gripes, but I don't notice a vast wave of criticism for the Isle of Man government. Since this all started last year, and certainly in the 7 months we had last summer when we were had an extraordinary period of freedom from this, I didn't notice it. So, Steve, if you want to come on and you know, just tell us exactly what you think about this, then by all means do. Oh, a quick word. There are two more of those neighbourhood policing public meetings. There were two last week. Last Monday, it's one in Peel at QE2. Last Thursday, it was in Port Erin at the Methodist Hall in Station Road. Tomorrow and Thursday, there are neighbourhood police public meetings in Ramsey and in Douglas. Tomorrow, it's at the Bond School Rumza, the junior school hall in Lazare Road, 7 o'clock, Tuesday the 3rd. And this coming Thursday the 5th, the Old Friends Club in Finch Road in Douglas host it all, 6:30 on Thursday. If you want to talk to, Minister for Justice and Home Affairs, Mr. Crajean's going to be there, senior police officers, MHKs, councillors, commissioners, they're going to be there. Just if you have any thoughts about crime in your area, low-level crime, antisocial behaviour, if you wanted to get involved in the public meetings, then of course you can't complain if you don't go. So if it's something that bothers you, pitch up tomorrow in Ramsey at the Bun School, Rumza, 7 o'clock, and on Thursday, the Old Friends Club in Finch Road in Douglas. Cannabis is something that always excites opinion. Some people fervently for the new medicinal cannabis, some people against it. Response to the new medicinal cannabis export market being set up on the Isle of Man is encouraging, apparently, according to the organisation which is tasked with regulating the sector for medicinal cannabis export and processing licences for it. Now, applications for licences started in June. Rob Pritchard delves into cannabis.
A new framework was approved by Tynwald in January, allowing commercial operators to grow, manufacture, distribute and export cannabis products from the Isle of Man. The Gambling Supervision Commission was appointed as regulator for the sector, supplying guidance on the different areas and overseeing licensing and supervision. The GSC's Director of Policy and Legislation, Mark Rutherford, explains how it's been received in the early stages.
I'm personally very pleased in the way this has come together. We can handle four applications at once. If we had more than that, I think we would be struggling. The fact that we've got a nice steady pipeline of interest is encouraging.
When do you expect the first licences could be issued?
So we're not sure yet. So what we've seen so far, it doesn't seem to be that dissimilar to a gaming application. So we usually turn those around in 12 to 16 weeks. And nothing we've seen so far has changed our mind on that. So I suppose you could look at where we're now, July, August, September, maybe October, November time.
One of the most technical parts of the sector is product testing, to check for any potentially dangerous chemicals, such as pesticide residue and plant growth regulators. Arrangements are already in place for this to be carried out at a lab in the UK, but Mr. Rutherford hopes the Isle of Man could get its own testing facility in future.
So there's a licence in the law that anticipates that a company could set up in the Isle of Man and do testing, and it would be great if we had something like that on Ireland.
When it comes to importing medicinal cannabis, government stated last month options for this in future are being explored.
Rob Pritchard there. Rob said, I'm looking forward to the day when the Isle of Man isn't known as the centre of culture within the British Isles, but the crown jewel for pot growing. The Isle of Man. Good stuff. Tourism is tourism, says Rob. Well, it does Amsterdam no harm, does it? How many cannabis grower licenses have been issued, said Keith. My research shows it's the vaccinated producing the Delta variant. What sort of research is that? How long would people like lockdown to go for? 1 year, 2 years, until the island goes bankrupt? No benefits, no pensions, no NHS. Now, the virus isn't going away, says Liz. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, Ray Harmer, for Policy and Reform Minister, was on? And he just said, if not now, when? If we don't open up now, when do we open up? The fact that the majority proportion of the Isle of Man has been double jabbed. And obviously, according to what's been said, the Department of Public Health are ready and waiting. The plans are there, ready and waiting for a booster program to happen in the autumn. We'll see. Government think it's the events. It could be. The real reason is that they've let every Tom, Dick and Harry into the Isle of Man. So we get COVID. Government can't even say where it's coming from, says Barry. And the travel regulations are very unfair to UK citizens. EU citizens can now travel to the UK without isolations, but UK residents have to isolate if travelling to the EU, and in some countries they're banned from travel altogether. Just a quick word as well. It is Monday, the 2nd of August today, which means the 2021 Summerland Fire Disaster Memorial Service is on 7 o'clock tonight. Members of the public are invited to attend the service, which is going to be at the Kay Memorial Garden, Queen's Promenade, where in 2013, the 40th anniversary of the disaster, Douglas Council put up a memorial to those who perished on August 2nd, 1973, when the Summerland Leisure Complex was destroyed by fire. Heavens, it's that long ago. John Jochen, the Mayor of Douglas, is going to preside over the service. The chaplain to the Bishop of Soda and Man, the Reverend Dr. Michael Brighton, will offer prayers. Then there'll be a minute's silence. The Mayor's going to deliver a short speech. He'll pay tribute to those who died and those who have forever been touched by the tragedy that claimed 50 lives. The service will conclude with the Mayor, Mr. Jochen, laying a wreath on behalf of the council at the foot of the memorial. That's tonight, 7 o'clock, Monday, August 2nd, at the Kay Memorial Queen's Promenade.
It's Nobles Park Fun Day!
Come join the action on Saturday the 7th of August with free entertainment for all, including bouncy castles, rides and family races, plus charity and car boot stalls, food, drink and more. Nobles Park Fun Day from Douglas Borough Council, Saturday the 7th of August, 12 till 4, with free entry too. Sponsored by the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Come and join the fun day!
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on!
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Think about it. Why do we take water for granted? Is it because our beautiful island's surrounded by it? We turn on a tap and expect it to just be there. But Manx water is the only water we have, so we need to think about every precious drop and use it wisely, in our homes, in our gardens, and in general. Luckily for us, there's lots of ways to be water wise. Visit maxutilities.im to discover more.
Athol Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Athol, you get a competitive fixed price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team, 820082.
Jump aboard the time train and take a trip back to the 1960s on Carnaby Street every Saturday morning at 8:30 with Isle of Man Railways. It's full of 60s hits and memories. On board the time train, Gladys the Tea Lady.
Right, boys!
Harry the Driver.
Hello, crispy old mate!
Roger the Fireman.
All aboard Isle of Man Railways time train!
Oh, and Raffles the dog. And, of course, you and me. You can win tickets for two for one of the Isle of Man Railway's fantastic dining car experiences. Carnaby Street, 8:30. On Manx Radio. On AM, FM, online, on smart speakers, and all over the world at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Loads of messages in today. Terry just said the potential that cannabis and hemp growing idea for the Isle of Man is overdue. I think the honest, balanced facts about the plant need to be presented so the public can make a reasoned choice. After the public consultation, there's a clear public mandate given for the change in the laws around the plant, the industrial uses as well as medicinal uses of cannabis. Enormous, vast. They could help save the NHS millions as well as creating trade and work. It's very easy to harvest, environmentally friendly. America, Canada and other forward-thinking countries have legalized small amounts of cannabis for personal, recreational and therapeutic use. And this is proving very successful. So where are we up to in this regard? It will also stop the criminal supply and black market with profits going back into society. Well, as we come into the election, Terry, you can guarantee that's something we'll be asking the candidates when we get them, you know, face to face, just to see what is your view of where we stand on recreational cannabis and medicinal cannabis. Here's a note in that just says, do I hear that we're no longer contact tracing? Is that because the numbers are so high? This is 520, so high that the Isle of Man government can't manage the call volume and don't want to tell us how widespread COVID is on the Isle of Man. Surely that can't be a responsible approach. Well, Steve, what do you mean by responsible approach? I'll just put to you what many correspondents are saying, in that, you know, we have to move forward. You can't just hide behind the settee forever. At some point, you have to move forward, or is hiding behind the settee the approach? I don't think there should be any more large gatherings, says this Texas 600. No more large gatherings, in another step to prevent the spread of COVID as well. Here's a note in that just says the double vaccinated are catching COVID more than the unvaccinated, says Peter. Have you got proof of that, Peter? Can you tell me? If you can, that'd be great. If you could, of all the people I know, many have caught COVID, have all been non-smokers. I don't know one smoker who's caught COVID, says this correspondent. Well, there could be, that could be a new catchphrase, smoke your way to health. I don't think so, do you, as well? The decision by Manx Care means residents could spend their last months in misery. The residents should have a say, says 502 back with us, Steve. Juan is with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
Oh, well, we're busy here.
Yeah. Everyone's asleep today.
Well, I'm snowed out. Everybody's texting and emailing now. We've got about half a flipping the Isle of Man's texting this morning. I don't know what it is.
Everyone must be recovering from a busy weekend on the island.
Well, it was very busy. Obviously, the show went well on Saturday and Sunday. There was lots going on everywhere.
Excellent, yeah. I think as it happened this year, the show was so spread out, which was a good thing because I think people felt a bit safer as well with the COVID. There was a lot of space for people to walk around. It wasn't packed like it has been for the last 10 or 15 years. So it worked well, actually, as it happened this year. Just picking up on a few things from last week. I was a bit busy at the end of the week, and I'm just picking up on the PAG meeting. The PAG meeting where I see Mr. Ashford and Dr. Allenson showed off their magnetic charm.
Well, apparently they're not magnetic.
Well, there you go. I mean, this again, there's so many things out there. I mean, vaccine-infused activity. I mean, there's lots of things out there. It's not just here that this is happening. This is happening all over the place. So I think for Dr. Allenson to stand there and just, like, boohoo it off as a hoax, we need a little bit more investigation because there is a lot of people out there that, you know, that are having this. I think the people deserve some kind of explanation rather than just, like, you know, shrug it off. I might miss Wednesday, but maybe you should ask David Ashford whether him and Dr. Allenson and Henrietta will come on, and maybe they could do a public forum, let's say in the People's Hall, in the Villa Marina, and then all the people who have got the other side of the story that want to ask questions in a reasonable manner and not get irate, why don't both sides put their story out there and they can come there with their peer-reviewed papers and put everything to bed? Because there's so many people here that have varied views about this. And this is not just a small thing. This is a huge thing that's going on around the world. So why don't the Isle of Man take that their first step initiative like they do with everything else? And, you know, the government and its advisors sit there and answer the people's questions.
Where do you think, I've said this many times, June, everything we do with COVID is with hindsight. Nobody quite knows because, you know, if last year we'd have said, look, there's going to be another variant come along and there could be another variant come along, people would have been scared stiff by it all.
So, and they are scared stiff. They are. I mean, that's what's driven this whole thing. And you can understand people who have got families, people who have got ill people at home, immune deficiencies, grandchildren. The whole thing is run by fear. And you can look at it from a radical way and radical thinking. It puts a different perspective on it. And when you start searching for different things, people don't search. People don't want to search. They're quite happy for the government to tell them what to do and believe in everything. But when you start searching, it actually, you scratch your head a bit more and think, well, hold on, is all this information that's coming from the top right or is it not? So, you know, like you said, invite the our politicians to stand there and let's have both sides of the argument instead of one side getting suppressed and censored all the time. It was a caller on last thing on Friday. I was listening while I was driving, who said that the other side of the story is all cannabis users and drug people that are fueling it, and that's not necessarily true either. I know a lot of people who are very well connected business people over here and people in finance who feel the same way about this. So it's not. It's just the fact that the people who may be cannabis users have got more of a voice than other people because other people's voices are suppressed because of their jobs that they're in and they don't want to speak out. So again, there's a fear factor of losing their positions and their jobs.
What's the law on cannabis in Florida, Juan?
You know what? I'm not really up on that, Andy. I think...
There are certain states that where it's available retail, medicinal cannabis is available, and certainly there are certain states in America that go very slow, pedal very softly on recreational cannabis.
There is, I mean, and this is the thing about America, I mean, it's 52 states, so everyone's got their own different rules and regulations, so there's nothing fast and set there. Florida, I don't think that there's that you can have it there. I'm not sure. I'm waffling on that one, so I won't say any more. I'll study that one. I'll come back to you on another day with that one.
Okay, Joe, all right.
But I think it's being proven. And again, we're back to the same track again. I think we're following the money. There's no money in the market for cannabis. We know that it does help a lot of people and it cures a lot of people. But Big Pharma is a business now, and the medical side of it may come a little bit second to making money. And we all know Big Pharma is, I mean, the CDC and all these places, they're running governments. They're telling people what to do, and you know the business comes first. And like I've said, follow the money trail.
It'll be interesting to see as we speak to politicians who are looking for our votes, and in the Isle of Man general election, there are always some surprises. There are always people who come in from nowhere, and suddenly they appear as MHK. So it's going to be interesting to see what the fresh voices think of where the Isle of Man's going to go.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's a lot of people standing. And the only problem is with a lot of people standing, sometimes it dilutes the vote, and the same faces get back in. And I'm not saying that some of the faces are not good, because obviously they are, but it does tend to dilute the vote. I do hope people like Stu Peters will get in, because I think Stu, although controversial, will stand up and say what he thinks. And I think we need more people that will actually stand up and actually say what they think, rather than towing the party line or towing the big machines line. So I do hope people like that will get in, because I think we're going to need that in the next 5 years.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Juan.
Cheers, Andy.
All right. 21 minutes before one. Our candidate today, by the way, is James Cherry, who is an independent candidate standing in Onchan. The other candidates for Onchan are Rob Callister, Julie Edge and Michael Leather. We'll be here from James Cherry. And by the way, Juan mentioned Stu Peters, who's standing in middle. Also standing in middle is David Fowler, Kieran Hannafin, Alison Lynch and Jane Paul Wilson. So as we get closer to the general election, you'll get to know these people very well. And drop me a note to say... next time one of your reporters is interviewing any officials regarding COVID and the vaccination program, can you ask them when the booster jabs are going to be starting? Due to the nature of our work, this is Anne, who said, my colleagues and I received our first jab in January and the second one in February. Now, we're concerned that our level of immunity is reducing at a time when COVID cases are rising. I'm sure this is going to be a concern to many of the elderly on the Isle of Man. There was a report over the weekend that the efficacy of the vaccine reduces after 70 days. Well, we're nearly there, aren't we? Why? This message in from Richard. Thank you, Richard. This is why our COVID infection rate is higher than England. It's been published and peer-reviewed that the efficacy for preventing those who are double vaccinated catching COVID but had their second jab after 3 weeks in Israel has dropped to 40%. While the same number of people in England first vaccinated at the same time as those in Israel who had their second jab 12 weeks later has remained at 80%. Now, as we didn't follow England for 2 months and stuck to the 3 weeks, you could explain why in Israel and here we're seeing so many cases, more cases per 100,000 than in England. We need to take stronger action, as this is proven to be true. They must admit they got the rollout wrong, says Dick. In Agenda this week, Phil Gorn's hosting Agenda. And this week, lots and lots of political commentators are sharing their thoughts. What they think the top election issues are going to be and how COVID might impact on and after the election, what the key election issues should be. So Phil Gawne, tonight, 6 o'clock on Manx Radio, our After Update, joined by LegCo member Kerry Sharp, former MHK's Hazel Hannon and Eddie Teer, and Alistair Ramsey, journalist and political commentator, and for many years advised on communications within Isle of Man government. So that's Kerry Sharp, Hazel Hannon, Eddie Teer and Alistair Ramsey. Join Phil Gawne tonight at 6 o'clock on Manx Radio. Only certain states in America have legalized medical and other use of cannabis. Different parts of the US can't get on the same page. However, I think the Isle of Man should do it and do it properly, says Andy in America. Here's a message from Vic, who says, yeah, most people make the mistake. They think America is a country. It's not. It's a continent. And all over America, things are very, very different. Things that happen in Illinois, different to Nevada, and certainly different to Delaware as well. Thank you, Vic. Here's Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello, my dear. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Diane.
I'm trying to stop laughing, so shout at me if I'm laughing. It's about this magnetism. I mean, apparently it's going on all over the world, and I've seen people with dessert spoons, teaspoons, and where you know those rings that you have on cans?
Well, that's Uri Geller.
No, I've watched, because I'm quite interested, as you know, with things that go on and research things. I watched these Spanish scientists on the internet who have had the vials or one of the, sort of scientifically investigated and looked at and all this sort of thing. And apparently, I mustn't keep laughing. The jabs, because they're not vaccines, are full of graphene oxide. Mm-hmm. And that's quite some strange stuff with the things I've learned and seen about it.
So have you been jabbed, Diane?
No, not for a million pound, dear.
So
not for a million pounds.
So you're not feeling magnetic today?
No.
I just wonder why we're not seeing all these people that have been jabbed on the Isle of Man. All the people that's what now, 50, 60 odd thousand people have been double jabbed. Why can't we prize them off cars?
Sorry, what was that? Why don't we?
Well, if they're all magnetic, why can't we? Why aren't they attracted and stuck to cars or lampposts or things?
Well, I expect I'll say this. Apparently, it's this graphene oxide. Now, that's quite some interesting stuff, would take too long to go into. But it creates its own electricity, and it just spread through the body, and it is part of the Internet of Things, where you're connected to your phone. And I've seen, sorry about this, a vet had tried and put, one of the chips that they put in dogs?
Yeah.
Put it near somebody where they'd been, because I don't know that it's in all the jabs, but and it reads out the number of the chip, because obviously it's not any more information on it, because it hasn't been inserted into a dog, otherwise they couldn't sort of. But there's just so much. If you've never watched those Spanish scientists, they're on the internet, and of course it's all in Spanish, and you can read it in English, and you can slow it down, and all that sort of thing. And it's quite some, frightening stuff. And what it can do, and how it grows. I've seen it growing in dishes. What do you call them? Patriot dishes or something or other. And it moves around, and I've seen it in swabs and masks on the internet. Now, I'm sorry, I shouldn't keep laughing, but I can't help it.
Well,
but
I think you're in good company. All right, Diane, thanks for calling today.
Yeah, all right, my dear. Bye.
Good to talk to you. Here's Sue with us on Man and Line. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I'm a bit confused today because all of the news reports that I'm listening to on Manx Radio and everything that is on here about the coronavirus figures, They're all seeming to say that the figures are on the increase and everything's on the up. Well, if you have a look at the government's data information on the website, about a week ago we had nearly 2,500 positive cases. But at the moment, there's only 1,100 odd.
Well, apparently they say the cases are going down.
Yeah, well, so why is everybody else saying that the cases are going up? Because to me, if you're looking at figures that say last week you had 2,500 and now this week you've got 1,100, why is everybody else saying cases are going up? Is it just the media again putting a bit of a slant on it to make it
But I mean, there are 86 new cases yesterday. There are new cases every day, but obviously people are recovering.
Yeah, exactly. And the new case numbers are going down as well. Because while the cases were on at 2,500, there were 100 and odd new cases every day, or nearly 200 cases nearly every day. And now there's like 87 cases. Yeah, it's not brilliant that we've got new cases every day, but at least they are reducing, and at least the total number of positive cases is reducing. So why is it that everybody seems to be saying, oh, the numbers are on the increase? Because they're not. I just find that the media coverage can sometimes dramatise something that isn't actually there.
Are you happy with the way that things are going then, Sue?
Well, I've sort of taken an attitude that it's a thing that is happening to us now. Yes, it's bad that people are dying. It's bad that it has an effect on vulnerable people and people who have bad immune systems and even people who don't. But they've given us this vaccination, and if people go and take the vaccination, then they stand less of a chance of being in hospital with it, etc., etc. But we've got to start viewing it on the lines of something like the flu. All right, it sounds like it's worse than the flu, and in some cases it can be worse than the flu, but the flu can lead to people dying because they get pneumonia from having the flu. And vulnerable people and people with low immunity and everything also have to be careful of the flu. So although the coronavirus is a fairly new thing to us, and we're all panicking about it because lots and lots of people worldwide have died, we've got to start viewing this on a slightly different way and start to try and get used to it and try somehow to lead a slightly different life, but a life that will help us think, yes, it's coronavirus, but if I do this, if I do that, if I want to wear a mask while I'm out, I can. If I want to socially distance, I can. If I have the opportunity to hand sanitize and wash my hands all the time, I can do that.
Do you think everybody should just calm down?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. I mean, I work in a place that has customer contact all of the time. I'm fortunate in that I seem to have quite a good immune system. I've had my two injections. I'm in contact with the public all the time. Some of them come in with face masks and some of them seem to want socially distance. So I respect that. But so far, touch wood, you know, I seem to be fairly okay. I haven't had any symptoms. I never had anything from having my two injections. So far, I'm fine. I know that there are people out there that aren't, but if there are people out there that are concerned about it, then let them wear masks, let them sanitize, let them socially distance, and let them carry on leading their lives like that, because that is perfectly fine with me. But, you know, don't let the media dramatize something that doesn't need dramatizing. Let the media be truthful about these things for once, and for them to say, you know, like today, they're all saying the numbers are on the increase, the numbers are on the rise. No, they're not, because according to the government website, the numbers have gone down from nearly 2,500 to just over 1,000 in about a week. So why can't the media start undramatizing things and just say, right, these are the numbers that we've been given. This is nearly 1,000 or over 1,000 less than we had last week.
Okay. All right, Sue. Happy to put that on the record. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
9 minutes to 1.
I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Next time you're in Sulby, pop into the Ginger Hall.
Join the boys for our fine ales and continental lagers. And catch the sport on TV.
Meet the girls for food and enjoy our fine selection of wine and gins.
There's live music every weekend with a Celtic music jam session every third Sunday.
Or host your event in our 100-person capacity marquee.
The Ginger Hall has it all. Find us on Facebook.
Or pop in.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
We all need to make positive personal choices to beat COVID. The risk of infection increases in close contact, confined and crowded settings. When you're out, think hands, face, space and fresh air. Visit covid19.gov.im. Make the right decisions. Be safe, be smart, be kind.
The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
Keith's general election, 23rd of September, and on Manx Radio we're talking all the candidates who've declared. 27-year-old James Cherry's an independent candidate for Onchan. Up against him, currently Rob Callister, Julie Edge and Michael Leather. James Cherry has been talking to Tessa Hawley about why he believes his age and his former local authority experience will stand him in good stead.
My personal opinion, you've got a young person who's willing to stand up and be accounted for. That's what I am. And I'm willing to fight the good fight, but I want to see long-term change, not something that's, oh, we'll see it through to just after the next general election, my seat's safe. No, we need to look at stuff that's going to be something that's going to last 20, 30 years.
So you see yourself as a career politician rather than just in for one or two terms?
I don't, but I mean, if the people want me to stand again, I'll stand again. That's why I'm standing this time around is after I left the commissioners, a lot of people understood why I left and said I did the right thing. Now, in the last 6 months, 12 months, a lot of people said, you're going to stand for MHK, you're going to stand, I'll go and you'll be good at this. And I'm like, no, no. And then coming up to last couple of weeks, it's been every time someone's seen me, it's like, you're going to stand that. And I must have had the best part of 300-odd people ask me in the last month or 2 months, say, you understand? And I'm just kind of like, hang on, if I've got these many people asking me now, I think let's go for it.
It's not your first time in politics. No. In 2016, you became a commissioner for Onchan, at the time age 21. Mm-hmm. Reflecting on your time with Onchan commissioners, how did you find being a commissioner? Do you think that was a job well suited for you?
Looking back on it retrospectively, I'd probably think it gives me good grounding, but I think I have ambitions for bigger things, so they weren't always just Onchan related, which you're going to have being at commissioner level. It's only just going to be where you are. Ideas and that, and things I have got to be island wide, and it's harder, much harder to do when you're at local authority. I'm not saying I didn't like it or anything like that. It was a very good grounding. We did get a lot of good work done when we could, even though there's all the sagas going on in the background. I personally pushed on, got stuff done where I could, and it just came to a point where so much stuff was going on that we just got bogged down and it was time to go.
And you left in 2019 after serving for 3 years. Yeah. If successful as a publicly elected MHK, the likelihood is that you could become subject to levels of negativity, mm-hmm. toxicity, yep. criticism, possibly even on a bigger scale than some of the issues that you experience at local authority level. Do you think you'd be able to handle that?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I actually left the commissioners was stuff that was happening at the boardroom, you could go and tell the chairman, but all they could have done was give him a slap on the wrist, don't do it again. and then 30 seconds later they could do it because there's no rules or anti-bullying policy type things in place. And that's part, another part I would look at is there's the bigger picture of local authority reform, but then you need to have a look at that, that actually are your local authority got rules in place that are up to date and modern day standards? And I don't think all do. And I think that's something that government should be saying to them, look, come on, you need to do this.
But are you confident that on national level, those protections exist within the House of Keys, within the Tim Ward setting?
Yeah, I'm more than confident that they exist. I mean, I've through my time as a commissioner and through other things, I've got to know quite a number of MHKs and MLCs through work. I spoke to them about it and they said, you wouldn't get much of that. You'd still have people criticising you. I mean, we had people criticising me when I was on the commissioners, but you just go back and say, this is what I think. I understand your point of view, but you've got to look at the bigger picture sometimes. A lot of it is sometimes people I've noticed being maybe very narrow-minded and not looking at the bigger picture of what you've got to do. You know, you might be doing a small thing there that they're looking at, but you've got a big, massive jigsaw that you've got to do. But everything ties in. You know, you're not going to complete the picture without that one piece.
James Cherry is standing at the Keys general election in Onchan. You can find out more at manxradio.com on the election mini site. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today. Back tomorrow at high noon.